Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, O, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C, Ho.
Hey guys, welcome back to GG Sports. It's your guy CJ here. We're back with another episode. And I'm going to get straight into it. We are seeing an epidemic right now where streamers are just insane, bro. Like, you're probably wondering what I mean by that. But we are now seeing these guys use platforms besides the one they have in the NBA. We're not talking about social media. We're talking about podcast guys, podcast streamers. And one of the biggest ones I've seen in the past week is LeBron James. Mr. I'm coming back for season number 23. Doing something that a lot of people at his age would not be doing at all. But he decided to go on Kai Cenat's stream after he crossed 1 million Twitch subscribers. The most in history. He's now the most followed Twitch streamer in the entire world at 19 million. And he cut, you know, Kai Cenat's dreads. Now, that may not seem like a lot of sports news, but let me remind you that it's also, you know, training camp time for LeBron at the same time. I mean, he just had media day the day before, and I'm just really hoping that we're getting locked in this year. Because obviously, you could say LeBron is technically not in his prime anymore, which is insane to talk about, even though that he's doing so well right now in his sport at, you know, the age he is. He's probably better than 95% of people alive when it comes to the game of basketball. But that's going to be interesting. We also see from him, at least from the Lakers' perspective, and from what I hear from, you know, teams and circles around J.J. Redick, is that LeBron is going to be out for camp currently, and he's using that time to rehabilitate his body and prepare for season number 23, because of course we have to remind ourselves that this guy is 41 years old. Stretching is probably more crucial than ever for him. His body endures a lot of pain during the course of an NBA season, y'all. 82 games. You might not play all 82 games, and that's fine. But at the same time, an NBA season puts a lot of hell through somebody's body, especially somebody who's been playing that long. So impressive to LeBron for that. And then also, iShowSpeed recently did an American tour. And I believe during or before that American tour, he went to a college campus nearby where I used to grow up at, Fordham University. That was insane. We got to see stars like Sauce Gardner, Danny Amendola, the GOAT himself, Tom Brady, and they were doing all these sort of challenges, all these like different things. Like it's just insane to think about that they did at that campus, man. I would have never fought. Like, who would have fought, honestly? Because in my inner thought, I just thought like they would do something like that at like a big time Penn State or, you know, football university, but. Shout out to Fordham University, man. That's going to be insane. And now for out of football. We're going to go to the NFL because obviously this is the best sport in the world. I love this sport with everything I love. And y'all about to see why, because it's mixing my heritage with football. It's insane. Bad Bunny. The Bad Bunny is going to be, I believe, the first Latino male singer to headline the Super Bowl ever. First one ever. And I just don't know, like, I don't know why people are disagreeing with this so much. Like, I really don't. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm guessing people don't like the fact that 90% of Bad Bunny's songs are in Spanish. First of all, if you don't know a lot of Spanish, You just did not try, at least in high school. Second off, they are doing this not because of the audience in the United States, because first of all, they could care less probably about their audience in the United States right now. Obviously, not completely give up on it, but bro, they couldn't care right now because they have you guys on a hold, man. They have you guys on a grip right now. Like, they could not care less. They want, what the NFL wants is not to make this the most popular sport in America, because they already have that. They want this to be the main sport in the entire world. Because I bet you right now, people in Brazil, South Africa, the Philippines, they couldn't care less about the NFL. They couldn't. Really, and with bringing Bad Bunny on, a person that has that global reach, that true global reach that some artists just truly can't have because of the fact that their music is in English or whatever like that, right? He's bringing to the NFL. And also, he's bringing a Latino audience to watch the actual game, which is what the NFL wants. Because let's be honest, y'all. Most Latin American people, or just Latin Americans in general, just don't want to watch the NFL's, you know, Super Bowl. Why? Because of the simple fact that they don't like that type of football. Or they just aren't interested. And when you bring a guy like Bad Bunny over, and you bring him to talk about this, and when you bring about you bring him to sing the halftime show, all of a sudden, hold on, eyes forward, we want to see this. And I think it's such a smart chess play by Roger Goodell. He's making me smart chess moves, like, strategically every single year to bring in the key artists that could potentially change that rep for the entire NFL and make them a true global sensation. And then, when you look at the actual NFL, I'm just amazed at the injury that happened to Tyreek Hill. All prayers to that brother, man. Really, because when I saw the footage on live TV, I honestly thought this guy tore his knee or lost his leg. And apparently it is true, because he has a dislocated knee, which has torn ligaments in that knee, which, by the way, sounds like a career-ending injury. Or at least it sounds like Tyreek Hill is not going to be the same player as he used to be. Because that relies so much for your speed. This guy is known for how fast he is. I mean, you're thinking about the entire future for not just Tua, but for the entire Miami Dolphins team. Does it even make sense to bring Tyreek Hill back this year? Is it better to trade him? Is it better to blow the whole thing up? Because right now, you're third in the division. I'm letting you know right now, there's no way you're catching the Buffalo Bills. The New England Patriots are better than y'all. Obviously, the New York Jets are in purgatory. I mean, they've been irrelevant for years, so who the hell cares about them? But the Miami Dolphins need to seriously think about blowing this thing up. Because it's not looking better. You guys aren't winning games. You guys are being lackluster in terms of your play calling. I mean, you don't have your wide receiver one for the rest of the season. You have a team full of guys that just don't make sense that they brought in. Darren Waller is one of them, who came back from retirement, I believe. You also got Quinnen Ewers brought back too. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know what I mean, guys? I don't know. That's my perspective. If I was the Miami Dolphins right now, blow this thing up while you still have the chance and while you can still get the draft aspects for them. Okay? But also brought in the fact that right now, I'm very, very happy with the way my Bills are going. Because as bad as the Dolphins are, I do want to see them succeed. I really do. Because I want to make this division, you know, interesting. Because at the end of the day, the Bills are going to win the conference. I hope everybody knows that. Like, I swear to God, I will literally run around my campus shirtless if the Bills don't win their division. I will literally do, I will do a mountain of things, guys, because there's no way we're letting up that first seed in the AFC East. Now, I want to see us win the entire AFC in general, be the number one seed in general, because we're the only team that's 4-0 in the AFC. Like, seriously, when you look at the AFC West, the Chargers, 3-1. That's not going to get it done, not number one. Steelers, 3-1. Still not going to get it done. Although, very impressive. The fact that the Ravens are 1-3. Yes, 1-3. And this is the team that y'all thought was going to be the Super Bowl favorites? Get the hell out of here. All y'all Lamar Jackson lovers, man. I don't see edits for my boy Josh Allen, bro. Like, come on, man. Steelers are very impressive, though. With Aaron Rodgers, though. I'll give y'all that. Everybody thought was, you know, debating on how this would work. The Bengals being number two right now. Of course, four games into the season. Whatever you want to think about it. But you really got to think. Like, they have no Joe Burrow, right? But really, they have Jake Brownlee, whoever... like a QB that backs up Joe Burrow. And surprisingly, we still have 3-1 teams in the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm sorry, I'm stuttering, guys. But that's impressive. Because Daniel Jones, I remember us Giants fans begging for this man to leave. We did not want him anymore. It was time to let him go. Because for us, he wasn't a good QB. But now we look stupid. Now we look stupid. Because we remember the same thing happening with Saquon Barkley last season. When he left us. And he went on this tear. All of a sudden, Daniel Jones leaves us. And now he's on a tear. I'm honestly thinking, are we just cursed? Are the Giants just cursed? Because this is insane. Xavier McKinley for, I believe, the Packers is having an incredible year too. He had an incredible year last year as well. So are we just cursed? Can we not make good football players anymore? Like, Jesus. I'm not saying we were the best during the Eli Manning era. But, like, I would do anything right now to go back to that. Because at least we could have somewhat developed our players. Like, damn. It seems like we can't even do that no more. Like, we are fourth in the NFC East, guys. The Giants are fourth. We're 1-3. The Cowboys did tie. That's the reason why they're not technically below us. Or, well, they beat us, so they wouldn't be below us. But whatever. I just don't know how long this will last, man. I don't. At least for the Giants, at least we know we have Jackson Dart on a lock to be our franchise QB one day. Because that dude is going to be something special. He did better in that one game than Russell Wilson did the entire three games he played other than that. Insanity. And we're not beating the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles are stacked. They're 4-0. They're big chilling. You know what I mean? Jalen Hurts did the tush push is still working. You have so many weapons on this team that literally you could go through the first two lines of this on Google and you're going to be like, wow, they have studs everywhere. Everywhere you can name. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Landon Dickerson, Johnny Metchie, Dallas Goedert, Dink, Bigsby, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, Cooper, DeGene, Jordan, the list goes on. Like, they are rich with talent. They know how to draft. There's got to be something going on because they got incredible recruiters, and that's the reason why they're a good team, which is the reason why I respect some Eagles fans. But whatever, man. I'm just ranting on because I wish we could build a good team here in New York. The 49ers are also bouncing back because what the hell is going on here? It seems like these two divisions of the NFC West and NFC North are the most competitive divisions in the entire NFL. The Cardinals are last in the NFC West, even though they're 2-2. Everybody else is 3-1. The 49ers having a stud year. A stud year, and I don't even think Brock Purdy's playing. Mac Jones is playing. He's not doing incredible, but he's doing just enough. Ricky Purcell, he's right now, he looks like wide receiver number one. He looks that good, ladies and gentlemen. Christian McCaffrey, he hasn't crashed out yet. He still looks like he has a lot left in the tank. You just gotta look at this and be like, wow. God damn, we making this happen right here, man. Did Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy returned this past game. He had 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. They did lose that game. First game we lost all season long. Honestly, it was a good team in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm pretty sure that was the first game that Travis Hunter really went off, too. Which is the best part. And then, look at the Lions. The Lions are looking very nice. Even though they lost both their offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator this past season. They still have a studded team. Obviously, Jared Goff is still there. Aiden Hutchinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously. You got a very good team. I mean, I'm pretty sure they brought David Montgomery back. It's just, it looks like such a complete team they have there. I really wish a couple years ago they went to the Super Bowl instead of the 49ers. Just knowing how Dan Campbell is, I feel like we could have had a good chance of winning. Really. And then we look to the perjury of the NFC West, or the NFC in general, sorry, the Buccaneers, and the NFC South. That division is very subtly bad. Like, you could tell what divisions are very, very bad, and that's a very bad one. I don't think there's a worse one on there besides that. Truly. Anyways, that's it for the NFL. I'm gonna get back to my action. I'm gonna get back to where we started. I just got a comment on what the hell the commissioner just said to Nafisa Collier. Cause that's insane, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm gonna try and find a statement right now. Even Stephen A. Smith is calling out this woman for what she said to Nafisa Collier during a little segment they had together. It was on First Take, I believe he said this. Where he said, whether it was David Stern or Adam Silver or Paul Tallaboo, could you imagine a commissioner being called out like that directly and that timidly in a timid statement? She looks guilty as hell. And then I'm looking at it and I'm saying, did you really say that? Did you really say that Caitlin Clark should thank the heavenly stars that she wouldn't be worth anything if she didn't play in the WNBA? Did you really say that? I'm saying back on like this, girl, I'm listening, because she got very specific to one individual. Because I don't know why the WNBA commissioner said what she said. I'm trying so hard right now, guys, to find what the commissioner said. I'm trying to find it. We also got reports in the past week that the WNBA commissioner, yes, they have a commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, is going viral for all the wrong reasons right now, ladies and gentlemen. Nafisa Collier told us that Engelbert said that Caitlin Clark should be grateful she makes $16 million off the court. Because of the platform that the WNBA gave her, she wouldn't make anything. Now, I'm sitting back and I'm reading this and I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? Are we really going down this type of road? Are we serious? I'm thinking of all the other commissioners in sports. Whether that was the late great David Stern, whether that was Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, or Paul Talibu, I'm sorry if I got that wrong. I'm thinking of all that, and just imagine, ladies and gentlemen, a commissioner being called out like that directly, and her being that disrespectful in that sense. So disrespectful, in fact, that majority of the players in her own league don't even like her. They don't like her. They have proven to not be supportive of anything the players say. She looks guilty as hell right now. I'm saying, like, did you really say all that? Did you really say that Caitlin Clark, the same Caitlin Clark who came from Iowa, made college basketball one of the most viewed items in all of sports? It was more popular than men's basketball at the time. You said that she wouldn't be worth anything if it wasn't for the WNBA? I think y'all should be thanking her. If it wasn't for her, they wouldn't be having these courier planes, private planes to be able to go to games, these big stadiums for them to play in, these TV rights deals that they're about to make a lot of money on and hopefully to allow to pay these players more. But you're saying if it wasn't for you, that Caitlin Clark would be nothing? I just don't understand how somebody could be a commissioner and say that about your own players in your own league. There's a difference between being nimble and looking guilty. And Kathy Engelbert, you look guilty as hell. I really hope the players get what they want. I really hope that they are able to make this commissioner see through to their ideas. And I'm hoping that one day she opens her eyes to what's really happening. I did get word that Caitlin Clark said something about this just recently, broke silence on it. Caitlin Clark said, "We need great leadership at this time across all levels. This is the most important time in the league's history." Fee said it all. That should be case closed, point and central. I'm gonna shift my topics because I want to go back to something else that goes into basketball the same amount that I was talking about with the WNBA. We just had our media days recently, and a lot of these media days look very, very, unc-like. Because of the fact that I'm seeing all these players from my childhood just look old. I mean, you look at Chris Paul right now, it is media day. Jesus Christ. This guy's got to be 40 years old. Like, he looks like my uncle right now, and just like, I don't know, man. It just looks like the media day for unks. LeBron James, 41 years old. You can see the gray hairs coming. Don't worry, you're still great. Kevin Durant at his media day in his Rockets uniform. By the way, which looks absolutely crispy. It looks like he just turned the villain page again. Looks very nice. Got Seth Curry reuniting with his brother Steph in L.A. or not L.A. San Francisco, I'm sorry. Crypto.com Arena. They look nice, too. I mean, imagine getting to play with your brother in the NBA again. I mean, that just seems amazing. That seems like the dream. I mean, who would not want that? And, I mean, the Warriors finally added some assets in the offseason. because of the fact that they made no moves for the entire summer months, which everybody in the entire league is wondering why. They finally added in Al Horford. Now, is he going to make a huge, huge difference? Absolutely not. The guy is almost 40 years old, out of his prime. But at the same time, he could be a good center for them, a good leader center for them going forward, just like he was on the Boston Celtics. Now, I really think this year, importantly, is going to make or break what the Warriors do from now on. It's kind of like they're moving in the direction between rebuilding their team and rebuilding what they got, or they go through and say, hey, we're just going to stick it up with Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green for the rest of the time, even though it seems like that's what they're going to do this season, obviously. But you really got to start thinking about the future. You got to think about who's going to go with this team after Steph is gone. Because by the time Steph is gone, Jimmy's gone, Draymond's gone, they're going to have to start fresh. They're not going to keep those same guys after he's gone. Because that is the team right now. Steph Curry is the team. Best believe if he was in the playoffs last year, they would have won their second round matchup. I have to be honest with you. There are so many things that I can say about the Warriors. They had a dynasty reigning from the early 2010s that we all hated. It wasn't because of the fact that we hated the player. It's not the fact that we hated Steph Curry. We hated the team that he built. They built a juggernaut, a dynasty. 4 chips in like 10-ish years. That's impressive as hell. Or 4 chips in 8 years. Whatever you want to call it. But you got to go into the direction of rebuilding. It's that time. Every team that had a dynasty crumbled at some point. It happened with Magic's Lakers. It happened with Jordan's Bulls. And it happened with Shaq and Kobe's Lakers again. And then it's going to happen with the Warriors too. Because that's just what's going to happen. Can't tell you anything else besides that. Okay. I think I got to everything I wanted to say today. I don't want to keep it long. I'm just excited for the fact that basketball is finally going to be back. We're finally going to see Cooper Flagg. We're finally going to see him do his NBA debut very, very soon, which I'm going to be very happy about. Best believe I'll tune in for that. And I'm going to love seeing it by the time the NBA season comes around. And by the way, Christian, if you're hearing this, by the way, your Warriors are not beating my Lakers. Best believe that, okay? I love y'all. I'll stay true to myself. We gonna win. Laker Nation is gonna win the championship in 2025 and LeBron's last season as a Laker. Calling it either that or the New York Knicks win for the first time in 50 plus years. One of the two, it's gonna happen. This is CJ, Game Day Gridiron. I'm hyped. I'm going crazy. We're gonna win the series. The Yankees are gonna go crazy. I don't even know. I'm getting too hyped. I'm doing too much. But I'm hyped right now because my Yankees are gonna win the World Series. Because we're already in the playoffs. We tied with the Blue Jays, I think. We're gonna go crazy. I'm sorry. I'm gonna end it. I'm rambling way too much than I already wanted. But best believe my Yankees are gonna win the series. The World Series. Best believe my Lakers or the Knicks are going to win the NBA Finals. Best believe my Buffalo Bills are going to win the NFL playoffs. Best believe they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And best believe the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup. I think that's what you call it. Stanley Cup? Yeah. This is CJ on Game Day Gridiron. I love y'all. Pan into the fire, I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper, bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game, wearing my chain. That's right, ho, ho.
Not DOC, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do, take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. Say the movie, dog.